y'all. I'm Haley Haymore, the host of Purposefully Living Podcast, where I invite people who have shaped my life through godly wisdom. They have taught me how to live life on purpose, and I hope through sharing their testimonies here, we can learn how to live extraordinary lives. Welcome back to the Purposefully Living Podcast. I have a very special guest today, one of my dear friends, Abby Downey. How are you, Abby?
I'm good, Haley. How are you?
I'm so good. It's so good to sit across from you and to see your beautiful face. I miss you so much, and I'm so glad to be able to spend this time with you today. So let's get started. Tell me a little bit about yourself. I want to hear it all.
Okay. I'll start from the beginning. So first of all, I've grown up here just like you have in Moore County, and I'm one of those weird people that doesn't want to leave.
So you grew up here, went to Union Pines, the whole thing, mm-hmm. and something very cool and special about you is your church family.
Yes.
So kind of let's talk about that. Like, how did you come to know the Lord, and what's that journey like with your church family and growing up here and that whole community that you were involved in?
Yeah, quick backstory. My church has three other affiliate churches. So we have the one here in Moore County, we have two in Florida, and we have one in South Carolina. So my dad grew up going to the one here in Moore County, and my mom grew up going to the one in South Carolina. And when they got married, my mom moved here. And so basically, I go to the church now and grew up going to the church that my parents both grew up in.
That's so cool. That is very unique.
Yeah, very unique.
And you're very, very involved. And that's why I wanted you on here, because I think we'll talk about in a little bit, but we've been such good friends for so long, and I really do know and believe and think that the Lord had us together in our high school years for a purpose and a mm-hmm. reason, to have those strong network of Christian friends around each other. But it's just cool to know that you had that in your own community and that you're a part of that. And just like me, similar story, wanting to live for the Lord for your whole life. I mean, that's just, a lot of times I've always felt like we didn't have a testimony because we grew up in the church. Like, a lot of times I'm like, the world looks at a testimony, some dramatic, cool story. And my mom is like, the most amazing testimony is that you were able and blessed enough to grow up in a church and to live for the Lord your whole life. And that's been you too. So I want to applaud you for that as well. So tell me about that. Like, tell me, when did you finally, like, man, I know I love the Lord. I grew up in the church, in the same church my parents grew up in, but how did you sort of make your faith your own?
Like you said, it was a huge blessing to have that community growing up. It was my parents, my friends' parents. We all grew up together, and so we had accountability for each other, and we all kind of led each other in the right ways, which was very special. But like you said, there's a point where your faith kind of has to become your own. And as much as we were sheltered and protected from a lot because we didn't have to really go through anything super hard growing up that brought us to the Lord, we were literally brought up into it, born into it, which is great. There did still come a point where I did struggle with stuff. Everyone struggles with things. So anyone who says that they don't.
Lying.
They lying or they lucky. One or the other. But I mean, I was thinking, or even just earlier today, about times in my life when I was little where I could think about when I started struggling with anxiety, when I started struggling with fear. And that's really a huge part of my testimony, is just conquering fear on a daily basis. But in different seasons of my life, I've seen how it kind of reintroduces itself into my life, and I have to become stronger each time it comes back around. But I can honestly say, even at the age of 13, being just so anxious about things that were not even a concern, now that I look back, they're silly, but really the time I made it the most my own was, I was around 13, and we had a church camp that we did every year, and I had really been struggling for a couple months with just being anxious, something's going to happen to me, something's going to happen to my family, what do they think about me, and just random
things. Which are normal things.
They are. Yeah, we were at a camp, and I had really been struggling, and there was a service, and it was just about surrendering our lives to the Lord, and I had grown up in church, I had grown up with godly parents, who I love. They're my best friends.
They're sweet.
Shout out to the Downings. But I had everything made. I had it made when it comes to a spiritual walk, and I was still struggling as a little 13-year-old. And we had a church service, and it was just about the love of God and that He loves us more than anyone else ever could. Why be afraid to surrender our life to Him? And I remember one of the things that were said in that service were, you can trust the one who died for you. And
that's good.
I remember that day, after that service, going off, and I just went on a walk. They had a really pretty trail at this camp, and I went on a walk, and I remember sitting there and just quietly saying to myself, I surrender myself to you, Lord, take care of me. And I remember just this huge, it was the fall, it was September, it was beautiful. It sounds spooky, but just this huge gust of wind came through, and I just felt so small, but I felt so special in that moment and so taken care of. And it was like God just used, honestly, the beauty of what He gifted us with, of His creation, to show me, you are far more important to me than even this, and
wow,
I'm going to take care of you.
I got chills.
I know, and it's just something I've experienced that in many different seasons of my life,
yes,
and similar things, so... That's really when it became my own.
That's awesome. Yeah, so, you know, you're in high school and you're playing tennis and you're thriving and you're still heavily involved in your church community. Did you feel like it was sort of difficult to relate the two, going and translating then to school and classes? I know you had a lot of friends that were with you in church and in school and on the tennis team. You know, you had your own faith and everything, but, you know, how was that in high school?
I didn't realize how stagnant I was until I was out of high school. And now looking back, I can see, wow, that was a battle. But in it, I thought, I'm doing great. I have my school life and I have my church life, and they are two separate things.
They're separate.
Yes. And I didn't know, which isn't, I don't feel bad about it because we were children, but I didn't know how to integrate everything that was happening at home with what was being built in my family with knowing the Lord and our faith and with my church family. I didn't know how to bring that into the schools. The only thing I ever really strived to do was just to love everyone, because Jesus loves everyone. And
yes,
I grew up knowing that.
And you did such a good job with that. Your personality was always, people knew when you were there in class, and you know, you're bright light and you're always so talkative and fun and exciting. So you definitely showed that for sure, whether you thought you did or not, you did.
Yeah. And nobody's perfect, and everybody mm-hmm. has faults. And I didn't quite realize how much I had backslid in that area. But I had. I mean, I was stagnant and I was not seeking the Lord like I should have been. I was not in His word. I was not in prayer like I should have been. And I think part of that was I knew in middle school, I want to be a dental hygienist. I want to be a dental hygienist. And because it's in my family,
yes,
my mom, my aunt, they were in dental. And so a lot of people that age of teenagers that know the Lord are praying, God, what do you want me to do with my life, with my career?
Mm-hmm.
I thought I had it set. I was
yes.
like, I know what I'm going to do. I know where I'm going to go. I know the year I'm going to graduate. And so that wasn't a part of my prayer life. I didn't really have anything major going on mm-hmm. at home, any struggles or any personal struggles, but I was still struggling with anxiety, even from being young. I was struggling like beyond I can explain. I mean, to the point where my senior year was when it was the worst. I had like 36 absences in one class because I would be on my way to school, have a panic attack, go home, and I would just not go to class. And so then I'm behind mm-hmm. in school, which doesn't help being anxious when you're failing all your classes and you're graduating in 3 months. So I was just struggling. And
yes.
that was another one of those times, just like when I was 13, where I had to say, what am I afraid of? I'm in God's hands, and
yes.
I don't have to worry about anything. He's going to take care of me. But lesson learned. And it's something that you continue to have to relearn.
Have to.
It's almost like you forget it.
And to talk, yes, and to talk about the steadfastness, you know, recently, Abby has actually helped me through a tough season in my life. We look at each other and we're like, wow, we've had such an amazing life, and the Lord has allowed us to grow up in such amazing families. And my parents are also my best friends. Shout out mom and dad, the Haymores. And, you know, it's like we haven't had a lot of struggles or anything that a lot of we see our peers might have had. But it's like, how are we sometimes so struggling? And I had a tough season, and I think that's just what the Lord brings you through sometimes. You have to, and if not, it's like, what would you need him for, right? Yeah. If you didn't have him, and that's where the faith and the trust fully lies, is with that. Mm-hmm. And you and I have talked during my hard season, and then just, you know, to prep for this, those steadfastness, I think that's where our issue sometimes lies, mm-hmm. is you and I, we didn't go through a wild phase. We didn't do anything that normal people our age were doing or do now. Mm-hmm. But the hard struggle was because we weren't steadfast in the Lord. And that was true for me when last year when I was struggling. I loved the Lord. I was wanting to go to church and serve the Lord. I want to be in ministry, and you're serving in ministry now. But I wasn't pursuing God in the everyday as much. And it was not even on purpose. It was just like, well, I'm sleepy, or, oh, I got to get to practice, or, oh, I have to go work, or, yeah. Oh, this is fun, right, and exciting in the moment. And after a while, it's like a week has gone by, and I haven't really studied the Word.
Yeah.
And so our spiritual maturity was requiring a certain amount of time with the Lord and relationship mm-hmm. with the Lord, and we weren't doing that. We were doing the bare minimum, and that causes us to be stagnant. Yeah. And I think sometimes the Lord can kind of make you have a little growing pains, or, you know, push you forward and be like, you know, you got to keep going. You got to keep going. You got to pursue me. And so I think that's not a bad thing. I think every Christian goes through that, but I think that makes sense with you and I, and what we, you know, the things that we've struggled with sometimes. So that's just an encouragement, you know, look at your spiritual life. If you're not pursuing the Lord wholeheartedly, that could probably be where the problem lies.
There you go.
So, lesson learned from us.
Yes. Still probably going to forget it.
So you now are, you know, kind of getting out of high school. You're like, okay, I'm going to pursue the Lord. I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to do this whole thing, and I'm going to be a dental hygienist. So how did that work out for you, Abby?
That didn't work out at all.
Oh my gosh, Abby.
That didn't work out at all. For someone who never wants to leave our county and want to go through a technical program where there's one within like a 200-mile radius, that didn't work out. That didn't work out. I applied for right 2.5 years, and it was 112 applicants each year, and they took 10 each year.
Yeah.
So here I am just waiting, and I was still stagnant, honestly. I was stagnant in that because I was like, well, what do I do now?
This is like, Lord, God, you're not making my dreams come true.
For real. Yeah. What are you doing?
I get it, Abby.
But he wanted to make his dreams for me come true.
Preach it, girl.
And he surely did. I did not expect it at all.
So what are you doing now?
So now I'm living it up at the preschool, and I'm teaching preschool.
And it's a Christian one?
It is, which is unbelievable.
Like, how amazing is that ministry, right?
It's unbelievable. Like,
that is so much cooler than anything you could have imagined for yourself.
It's so amazing. Well, because the way that it lined up is I decided not to do dental hygiene. At the time, I was working in a gym. I've nannied my whole life. I've always been around kids. I've helped with VBS in nursery. And I was working at a gym and managing their daycare. And someone that worked there got a connection and said, you should consider maybe going and working with kids in a school. And I didn't like school. I'm going to be honest here. I didn't.
I know. I was with you.
I didn't.
You're not telling anything new.
Nothing new. I didn't like school. So my first reaction was, I didn't like school. Honestly, wasn't real great at it because I didn't like it. I can't teach. I can't handle that level of responsibility.
Oh,
and so that was my first reaction. And I kind of just dismissed it for a couple weeks and didn't think anything of it. Well, then my boss at the time of the gym came to me and said, why are you not working with kids? You love working with kids. Kids love being around you. It seems like it makes you pretty happy.
It does.
Go for it. Why not? Don't
let fear stop ourselves, really.
Amen.
And we will always be.
Amen.
So you're perfect for it.
It's perfect. It's perfect. So I, long story short, applied to a school, worked at a wonderful school in Southern Pines for a couple years. And then I needed insurance. So the half days.
Why is it so hard?
Say it, girl.
It's so hard.
I don't think it's hard. But But basically, I needed a full-time schedule. I needed insurance because at 26, you get booted off your parents. And so
my parents are making me pay for my own already.
What?
Yeah.
We're going to have to talk about this on the sidelines.
Talk to them. But it's okay. It's all right.
It's okay.
It's just the way it is.
It's adulting. It is. It's because they love us. But then my mom looked on the website of the school I work at now and saw that they needed an assistant just for the summer. Just for the summer. So I applied, and now I get my own classroom next year. I get to lead my own class, and it has just happened. It's nothing to do with me. It's 100% glory to God.
100%.
Because I've done nothing. I feel like I've just been a puppet just sitting here, and God's been moving me around to exactly where he wants me to be. And
that's
I'm so
awesome.
Happy. I'm so happy.
Think about it, though, when you were in high school and you knew, like you said earlier, I had when I want to graduate, what I want to do. Probably when you wanted to be married, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
How many kids you wanted to have by 25. And the Lord's like, nope, 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 nope.
Nope.
And he had everything. And you're like, I didn't even like school. And now I work with, I am a teacher.
It's me. I'm the school.
Like, how cool is that, though? Like, it's
awesome.
Just, with all these stories so far that I've had in here, that seems the theme. The over everything with God's purpose and living for the Lord. You don't have control of your life. Mm-mm. None of this makes sense. It's oftentimes not what you're actually thinking is going to happen, but it ends up the people are so much more satisfied, content, and excited about their life. And that's just with you. It's like you're so made for this. And it's just cool. So I really... I'm excited to see you in that, you know, this year coming up in your own class and everything. That's just, I mean, that's a full ministry there. I mean, that's serious. Like, you have to teach, don't you have to teach Bible classes and everything?
I do, yeah. It's really fun. It's awesome. Well, it's nice, too, because sometimes in schools where you're not really able to talk about that, because unfortunately there are schools where you're not able to, I remember being in school and them saying, don't do this, don't do that. And I mean, there is still some of that, but a big majority of it is teaching truth and teaching this is God's best for you and this is why not to. And so we get to actually biblically teach them truth and boundaries because we need boundaries for a reason.
Yes.
I mean, adults need boundaries for a reason.
Yes.
So it's a very special school to work at. And it's also, it's been an opportunity for ministry for me to give to them, but it's been ministry to me. I mean, our family has gone through things this year with my mom health-wise. And there's been ladies that have gone through the same things as her at that school that I never would have met if I wouldn't have been working there, that have been able to walk me through and understand and pray with us alongside of the challenges that we've had to deal with. And I've gotten to work with a teacher who's an amazing example of a godly mother, a godly friend,
awesome.
A godly teacher. It's been so good, not only for me to be able to be in ministry for the kids, but it has strengthened me. And so it's
that's
been
awesome.
Very special.
And then I know you said one time when we were talking about your story and everything and what we want to discuss on the podcast, you were talking about how doing these Bible stories is making you accountable. It's because you're ministering to others. You have to be steadfast and into your word heavily so you can then be better prepared for them. And so being in those Bible stories and having to minister to others, it has made you be steadfast in your own walk. And so I love that you said that because it's so true. So now going into your ministry at the church that you grew up in and your parents grew up in. So what do you do there now and how long have you been doing that? I think that's so cool. I mean, you're a full-time ministry girl. I mean, you teach at a Bible school, daycare, and now you're in full, like you do this ministry at church. So tell me about it.
Yeah, it's a huge blessing. A few years ago, I mean, we have a huge amount of youth at our church right now compared to what we did when I was growing up. I grew up in a very small, tight-knit, very close group of friends, which I'm still friends with now. But they've all gotten married. They've all moved. Some have gone to the military. So we're all kind of all over the place. And so there was a point in our church where I was the only person my age. I was the only one. And I was kind of just praying, what is my place in the body of Christ, but also specifically in the body that I'm in this church. And I wasn't singing in the choir. I wasn't, leading Sunday school, anything like that. And, we just slowly started doing things with, the teenage group and planning just little Bible studies on the weekends, like once every other month or something like that. And it very quickly just naturally became this very close family. They had what I had when I was growing up, but to a different level, because I didn't grow up with maybe the Bible study aspect of it. I grew up with a close group of friends that loved the Lord, but we every Wednesday night have prayer meeting at our church. And while the adults are having prayer meeting, the 13 and up girls come upstairs with me and we have Bible study, and the 13 and up boys go with my co-leader, my friend at my church that helps us lead the teenagers. Awesome partner. And we lead them together, but also separately. So they get time alone, just the girls and just the guys, to talk about what they're going through and get to learn truth and learn these Bible stories that I'm teaching in preschool. We talk about the same stories sometimes and it blows their minds too. But
blows our minds.
It blows my mind right now thinking about it. But it's a huge blessing.
That's
and
awesome.
I learn from them. I mean, you go into things thinking this is my ministry. I'm here to teach. And I learn more from them than they probably learn from me. And I'm 25 and there's 15, 16, 17 year olds in there that I'm calling sometimes and saying, pray for me, or what should
that
I do in this?
That happens to me,
you know?
Though, too, with the pickleball, like teaching pickleball to older people.
Yep.
I'm there to teach them, but they're mm-hmm. actually the ones teaching me more.
Yes.
And I think they know that to some level, but they may not. But that's... they're ministering to me, and just by watching them and what they do and how they treat people,
yeah.
sometimes it doesn't necessarily have to even be a conversation that they're sitting down helping me with, but I just know that they're there and I'm watching them and they're in learning from them. So I get that.
Oh, yeah.
When you're always doing something for the Lord, you always get in turn blessed more. And
exactly.
I think that's the point of what you're trying to say, is you're there to minister to them, but in turn, you're getting a blessing in return.
Yes, it's very fulfilling. It's very fulfilling. And I have great support, too, because a lot of times in churches, there's a separation between kind of the elder generation of a church and the youth. And in our church now, there is none of that. I mean, because... For example, one of my best friends is one of my mom's best friends that she grew up with. And every Wednesday we have a Bible study. She's in there with us. The moms of these parents, they want to be involved with their kids and not only be feeding them faith at home, but be a part of their Bible studies. Know what they're learning. Be a part of it.
That's awesome.
Because that's very important. And so we have great support. I mean, it's just awesome. We're truly a family.
That's
really
awesome.
Family. So it's great.
Abby, I've known you for a long time and in a way got to watch you grow up. I was growing up with you, but I just want to say I'm so proud of you. I have seen the difference in you in this transition, and from high school to then now kind of going into this ministry. And you were doing the stuff at the church first, and then you now know your calling and what your true purpose is with this daycare and, mm-hmm. and working there and doing this with the small children. But just kind of seeing you and how the Lord works and really kind of defining you and making you what he wants for you is really, really awesome, and you being obedient in that. So I just want to applaud you for that and just tell you how excited I am for you for just everything. I mean, you're in full-time ministry, and I don't even know if you even knew that or wanted to do that on purpose, and that's just so cool to me. Again, how cool the Lord works. And then just seeing little Abby on the tennis court and just how goofy we were together.
We were so goofy.
And then
how'd we get here? How do we grow up?
And how'd we get here? I mean, we're like adults.
We are like adults.
We are adults.
We're at our quarter life crisis.
Like,
well, I am.
Abby, you're one there. Quarter in.
Oh, gosh.
You got three quarters left.
Got a long ways to go, buddy.
So, you know, something we've talked about recently, whether we just quickly chat or see each other somewhere, how adulting is just hard sometimes. And it's like we're struggling, but we're living our dream.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Lord is making you who he wants you to be, and in the daycare and in the ministry and everything. And he's showing you your purpose, but it's also sometimes not easy.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that? Because I know we talked and we laugh and it's like, you're in the valley, so am I. Good. But it's like, you
welcome.
Know.
Welcome.
Welcome, my friend. But it's like, you know. How do you navigate that, I guess, is the question. How have you navigated that?
How have you navigated that?
Well, I mean, how long do you have?
No, I think that's an ongoing question.
We've definitely had, you and I have both had similar struggles recently. And just like, and I think what it is sort of coming out of it, it's growing pains.
Yeah.
The Lord is molding us into what he wants us to be. Again, for me, I can just speak on myself. When I was struggling last year, you know, what I was, my valley, or I guess you could say, being funny. But I was on the outside coming home every day. My cup was overflowing because I was getting to spend time with these people on the pickleball court. And I love older people. Abby gets to spend time with 3-year-olds all day, but I get to spend time with 70-year-olds all day. And it's just the best day ever. And I was just living my dream. But at the same time, I was like, man, like, why am I struggling? I'm just internally just feeling just, you know, why? And it's sort of hard to find the joy in the everyday. So what would you say to that? Like, how did you do that?
I feel like that comes in waves, at least for me. I don't know about you, but I feel like that comes in waves. Some weeks I wake up. I mean, honestly, today I'm on the mountaintop today. I'm having a good day. I'm having a good week. But last week was a struggle. It was a struggle bus. And I just feel like a hot mess. A total hot mess. Couldn't get my life together. And I've decided to not keep trying to get my life together because I feel like we're never going to fully be able
That's true.
Just accept it. But I feel like he has something to teach us different in every season, which I feel like each time he's trying to teach me to continue to just surrender myself and my life and mainly surrender my fear. This period I'm in is kind of fearful because 25 isn't old. It's not old. So I know anybody that's older that's listening are like, she's so young. What is she worried about? But it is that point where the desire of your heart is, I want to be married. I want a husband to take care of and to love me. And I want children one day. My biological clock is ticking. And, you know, and so you don't want to be anxious about it. And that's the biggest thing that I've learned in this season is I wish when I was 19 and I was so worried about my life that I would have enjoyed the period I was in.
That's so true.
And so I want to take that to now and say, I'm not going to let maybe the anxiety or the fears of whatever they are ruin the now for me, because God's trying to teach me something very special right now. And that's where that steadfastness comes in. Mm-hmm. Because if we want him to teach us something in maybe the valley we're in, because that's usually what the valleys are for, is to teach us something or to grow
us. What do you need me
something.
Here for? My goodness, girl. Preach
Haley.
It. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, gosh.
Keep going.
It's not me.
I'm intrigued.
But if he's wanting to teach us something, he wants us to be in his word and in prayer with him. That's something last night, kid you not, last night, before I went to bed, I was just praying and I was like, God, I need you to just keep me going. Just show me the next thing for me and just praying it. And it's like he said, I've got you right where I want you.
That's
but how
true.
About you read your Bible for the first time in the last couple days? So I was like, okay, yes, sir. I'll get my Bible out.
It's like when you're on the mountaintop, sometimes you forget because
yes.
It's like you're not, and that's what you're saying.
Exactly.
It's not that we forget. Again, you were praying to the Lord.
Yeah.
You loved the Lord last
I do.
Night, but you were like, not that you don't need it, but sometimes it's not your first thought. And I don't know why that is, other than we're just flesh. But because I love the Lord with my whole heart. It's all I've ever known. But it is. It's like, I'll read it in the morning. It just keeps going by and by and by. You have to prioritize the Lord.
Yeah.
But it is just so amazing to be able to live for the Lord that way and be steadfast, because that's where the difference lies.
Yeah.
Is finding that joy, that the joy comes from that, being steadfast.
Yeah.
And I think looking back, like you said, when you're 19, you had your whole life planned just like me. I should be baby number 3 by now at 24.
Girl.
So, you know, we're behind the schedule.
Okay. We're going to get there.
But that's our own schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the purpose is the everyday,
mm-hmm.
the joy, the valleys, the ups, the valleys. And that's where we're finding where God wants us and molding us and shaping us. And it's the journey. It's not necessarily these milestones of having a baby, having a husband, getting this dream job. It's all of the above. And it's how you got there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the purpose is. And looking back, it's like you said, just enjoy the moment. And that's so hard for me and you. I know, but it's just the way it is. And so I think, for me, it's trusting him in the everyday.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, just Lord, just show me.
Yeah.
Show
Which
me
is
the
a
next
choice.
Step.
It's a
it
choice.
Is.
And sometimes it's a sacrifice. And I think that's talking about the journey is making choices daily to not let fear take you down, not let I woke up and I don't even want to get out of the bed today take you down, and to make the choice to say, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind, and I can conquer however I'm feeling right now. And one of the biggest things I'll just encourage anybody that's struggling with anything to do is, first of all, be in your word and be in prayer, or be in his word and be in prayer, but surround yourself with the right people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like you said, we've been able to encourage each other so much, and it's been such a blessing to me. But don't be afraid to reach out, you know, yes. because that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to kind of segregate you off and isolate you. And I know, burden shared is half a burden, you know?
Yes. And I know recently, like a month ago, you and I, and we don't talk all the time, but it's when we do, it's like never a second has gone by.
No.
But, you know, we texted each other like a month ago, hey, praying for you mm-hmm. and today or whatever. And you responded, hey, you know, I'm actually struggling. And you've done the same for me. It's like, yes, thank you. I'm actually struggling. And yeah. you don't even know. Mm-mm. And I think those things are, like you said, a burden. What'd you say?
A burden shared is half a burden.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, I want to thank you for helping me. You really, truly have helped me in the past year over multiple different times. So thank you for that. And I just thank you for being you. I love you, Abby.
You're
a wonderful person. And again, I can't wait to see God's purpose for your life continue to unfold and to continue to see you be obedient in that and be steadfast. So it was a pleasure having you on here, Abby. I love you with all my heart. And I just can't wait. I just can't wait to keep having you and just being around you.
I know. I love you too. I can't believe we've gotten here. This is so serious. We're doing a podcast right now.
I know.
How do we get here? I remember us running around on a tennis court, pulling goldfish out of our pockets with no shoes on.
Abby, we're adults, but we're not quite yet.
So. I prepare to stay this way. I don't know about you, but let's make a pact.
Let's do it. Right here. Shake
okay.
on.
Shake on.
All right. Right here on the Purposefully Living podcast.
You heard it, folks.
You heard it here first. Love you guys and love you, Abby. Thank you for listening.
I love
See you.
You
on the next one.